believe that he has, yes, who will my God, oh yes, he smile on me, say he's been to, let's sing it one more time. And God, I know he smiled on me. I believe that he has set me free. Who will my God? Oh, yes, he smiled on me. He say he's been good. Yes, he has. To me, amazing grace, it was
amazing grace.
How sweet
the
is that saved a wretch like me. Well, I once was, oh yes, but now I'm, was blind, but now I see, and it's all because my God, oh yes, he smiled on
me.
Thank you, Lord. Hey, he has set me
free.
Who will my God? Oh yes, he smiled on me. Yes, he to me. Amen. Amen. I want to continue the lesson that I started on last Sunday entitled Christians, Stress, and Depression. I definitely want to be a little bit more practical in the lesson. We took our text from Job, the book of Job in the Old Testament. I know many of you are familiar with the story of Job. Some are not. I made the statement last week that I do. Some would say that this is a metaphorical type of story, lesson and story about Job, but I do not believe that at all. I believe Job was a real man who lived in the Old Testament times. There's a lot of evidence in the text if you go through it and see the places that are named, the time, the place that he was from, and some other things. I won't go over that this morning, but I believe Job was real, and I believe those trials he went through were real. And I just like to ask the question, have you been through some real trials? And I sure don't want anybody to downplay. We don't want to elaborate on them and let them master our lives. But I tell you what, a real trial is a real trial. And I would just believe that there are those in here this morning that they say that the number one reason for doctor's visits is stress. And not necessarily the disease itself, but the effects of disease. Sometimes we make a mountain out of a molehill. And we as Christians, I believe God has given us the things that we need to be able to operate and deal on this earth and be people that he wants us to be. And so the word I have for you this morning is I notice I entitled this Christians, Stress and Depression. Because even the Bible says, I believe in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 15, that good understanding gains favor with God. But he says this, the way of a transgressor, or the way of transgressors is a hard road. It's a hard way. So the words that we give are not, see, in other words, if you decided that you're going to be, I know you're not in here this morning, but if you're going to be a professional liar, you need some stress. You're going to have some stress. And so what are you saying, Brother Gary? See, the way of a transgressor is hard. It's stressful to have to get up and lie every day. It's stressful if you're going and out hooking and crooking and stealing and robbing and cheating everybody. You ought not to be able to sleep good. But for those that have decided to live by the doctrine of Christ, have submitted to the will of God, as 2 John chapter 1, verse number 9 says, that we, those that abide in the doctrine, that's those who are trying to live godly lives. And I know I'm in the right audience this morning. Those who are trying to live Christians' lives, stress, we're still not exempt of stress. It comes on us, and we got to be able to deal with this if we're going to be all that we want to be and that God would have us to be. Because too many of us are not handling stress the way God wants us to handle it. And he gives us some answers, and that's where we're coming from. That's why we started in the book of Job, because I believe, Lord, have mercy, after all that man went through, I know there's a reason God sent him through that. And I do believe that it was to lead, because see, Job didn't have Job to read about. But we have him to read about, and we're having to learn from his lessons. Although Job was an upright man, he went through that, and God left this word for us to glean some of the riches of his wisdom and his power in our lives. Anybody need some peace this morning? Lord have mercy. We made the statement last week without going over so much. Job 1, his story. Job was an upright man. One of the things that we as Christians must do is position ourselves for God's favor. Position ourselves for God's favor and his rewards. How do you do that, Brother Gary? Job was a blameless, upright man. He eschewed evil. He shunned. He ran from evil. And we made the statement last week that according to the scripture, God rewards righteous behavior. And this is not for just old people. This is for young folks. See, if you're a young person and you're trying to do right and you're trying to live right, you must know that God rewards righteous, upright living. Now, we live in a crooked, we live in a broken world, we live in a sinful world. You can't escape all stress, but don't you got to know as a Christian that the Christ-like life is less stressful than a transgressor. Amen. And it is. Listen, we read about Job's stress, but most of Job's life was lived stress-free. Even when we begin his story, his major test came after his sons hit the Bible. We said in Job chapter 1, verse 4, all of his sons had feasts. And they each one of them had a feast. Each of his sons had their own house. Praise the Lord right there. That's some less stress for you. Yeah, they had their own house. They had a feast. Each one of them had it in their own time. They invited their sisters to come there. They ate. So they were grown before. Job was grown. His children was grown before he had his first major test. I wish I could tell you that there won't be any tests in our lives, but I'd be telling a tale. Yeah, some of us have gone through them already. Some of them are going through some now. But you live a godly life. Yeah. See, listen, don't live a life full of strife and conflict. Something we just bring on ourselves. If you are a violent person, you asking for stress. If you are confrontational, if you live in a life of strife, of argument, arguing with folk all the time, sometimes you can give yourself less stress by just keeping your mouth closed. Amen, somebody. We're talking about the Christian now. And I know, Brother Gary, this is just me. Well, I'm just saying from God's word, sometimes you just need to be quiet and be still. Amen, amen, somebody. Yes. The young folks in here, if you want to have less stress in your home, listen to what your parents have to say. Amen. Amen. Well, my parents don't know everything, and you don't either. Amen, somebody. They know more than what you know. I can tell you that. Listen. Joshua, all throughout the Bible, God rewards righteous living. He'll give us rest. He'll give us some peace that passes understanding. I mean, long periods of time. We read in your hearing a few moments ago, Job lived a long life after his trial. He's not the only one in Joshua chapter 23, verse 1. Joshua 23, 1. Now it came after many days, when the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies on every side, and Joshua was old, advanced in years. Joshua obeyed God, and God gave them the promised land. And if you did your study, you see that at least for 40 years, Joshua didn't have war in the land. Everything was restful. Yes, he had some trials for one period of time, but would anybody like to have 40 years of peace? Oh, that'll get me on the glory 40 years from now. Amen, somebody. Yeah, 40 years. Why did they have 40 years of peace, Gary? Because he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. He obeyed God's commandments. And see, don't get it twisted. Don't get it out of perspective. Sometimes when we're going through a trial, we just act like the world is ending and it's going to go on forever and ever and ever. In order for us to get us in the graces of God, let's position ourselves by obeying God. So one of the things we learned from Job also, reading Job, in the culmination, the last part of chapter 1, Job, after everything was taken away, his sheep, his oxen, his children, his servants, all everything was taken away. He said, "Naked I came into this world." Okay, well, that's a powerful statement. We need to pray for some spiritual growth, don't we, church? For faith, because he said, "Naked I came into this world; naked I shall return." That was his attitude. And one of the things it tells me is for us to live better lives, less stressful lives, over attachment to material goods. See, obsession with stuff sets us up for stress. Because see, when something happened to our stuff, we are stressed out. Amen? Can I ask a question this morning? Get a little personal, just not in your business this morning. Is there anything that you have? Understand, I'm talking about materially. Anything you have, see, because notice this. Notice, Job's oxen were taken. You see, all of his cattle, all of the sheep were destroyed. All of that stuff. You know, I know that give you a lot of pride to walk, go outside on the hill and look out in the fields and see all of my stuff. All that, oh man, I got cow, I don't even know how many cattle I got. And see, all that stuff, all and all of it was gone. Anybody got some stuff in here this morning? You got some, you know, we have different stuff. Yeah. But some of us, we too obsessed with our stuff. Maybe I'm talking to the wrong group in here. But you know, some folk you really get obsessed with stuff. Anybody got a few shoes this morning? Yeah. Shoes, bro. See, you know, I know some of you probably say, "Oh, shoes, that ain't nothing." It's not nothing to you, but if somebody got some shoes in here this morning. Amen, somebody. I mean, you know, we have collections of stuff. It always amazed me. I like to watch the History Channel and the archaeological findings and some of the amazing findings that they find, these treasures. And you know what I always think about? I say, man, all of this, somebody accumulated all of this stuff, but they don't have it now. Somebody else got it now. Sometimes they even find it on the bottom of the sea. And is there anything that you have that you just lock? Sometimes stuff can have our mind even while we worshiping God. Instead of worshiping God, we thinking about our what? Stuff can be. Anybody got a nice house? It takes some work to buy a house. Yeah, it really does. It takes a lot of effort. Now, the young people, they desire is good. Home ownership is wonderful. It is great. It is beautiful to have your own home. Don't get scared. I'm not fixing to talk about your house. I mean, you know, to have a nice house. Anybody like to keep a nice yard? Yeah. You want your yard to be beautiful. Nothing wrong with that. You're supposed to take care of what God gave you. Amen? Amen. Yeah. Some of us have nice houses, haven't nobody seen it but us. I'm just saying. But you're in this night, you sit in there, some of us have these theater rooms, you know, just, whoo, man, you're just like, man, this is it, boy. They don't need, you know, it's just nice. Don't get too attached to it, though. Don't get too attached. Enjoy God's blessings. Enjoy them. And I'm not one. I'm looking. I like nice stuff. enjoy God's blessings, but you got to know it's just, that stuff is just temporary. It's temporary. I mean, you know, don't get upset. Because see, the more obsessed you get with stuff, you set yourself up for something. Yeah. Not just stuff. You remember we talked about the five major stressors in life? You know, relationships, the death of a loved one. Job lost his sons and his daughters. And see, notice, and Eric, we all love our kids. But we also know that none of us gonna live forever. Now, we say that all the time. Yeah, we all gonna go there. We all gonna die one day. Everybody gonna die. Do you realize everybody will die? And it includes you, it includes me, my mother, my father. I don't know what I'd do if my mama go, well, you better get ready. I don't know what I'd do if I lose my child, but it might happen. Don't say that, it could happen. It happened to Job. I'm telling you, so this is for the Christian. This is for the child of God. See, listen. I was listening to the radio this week, and they had I'd heard this on the radio, and they were playing this tape of this young lady who actually killed her son. She killed her son, a 17-month-old son, and she was texting her boyfriend and telling him what was going on. What she was trying to do is, you need to come on. I'm tired. You need to hurt. Her boyfriend, I guess, was ignoring her. And I don't know how true this is. I just heard it on the radio. But her boyfriend was ignoring him. And she evidently, he was with somebody else. And she was at home with the baby all the time. I don't know if she had postmortem. But she was texting, you need to come. You need to answer me. He didn't answer him. And she was texting him, I'm gonna take something that you love. I'm going to take something that you love. And she killed her son trying to get back at him. Young people, now listen, young people, old people, nothing is worth your soul. And you can get obsessed, you know, some folk can't think straight right now because they are obsessed with a person who cares nothing for them. And yes, it causes undue stress, and we react in ways that are not godly and that will destroy us and destroy our souls. And now this young lady, I'm sure she would take that act back now that it's happened. But stress will do it to you, I'm telling you. Yeah, stress will do it to you. See, you get your heart broken by a person. And I tell you, I got my heart broke when I was a young man. And you know, you get your heart broke, you feel like something cutting you. Some of you know. Some of you act like you don't know. Some of us messed up right now because we got our heart broke 20 years ago. Amen. And it stressed us out so we've gone, and we can't even act right now. Job somehow realized that though I've lost my children, Lord have mercy, God still has me here, and there is a purpose for me being here. I'm talking to the Christian. I'm not talking to the heathen. I'm not talking but to the worldly man. And so the lessons we learn, listen to 2 Corinthians 4:18. 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Yeah, the stuff now. Yeah. Wear your clothes, enjoy your clothes, but they'll be wore out. Something else will come in style. Yeah. Enjoy the things that you see. Your car is nice. Yes, it's nice. It'll be out of style in a few years. So don't get hung up on stuff. Listen, it's temporal. Another lesson we learned from Job 1. I wish I had time to read all of Job 1. Job did mourn. Yes, he mourned. Yeah, mourn. God made us with emotions, and we cry, but do not despair. Do not despair. What do you mean, despair? See, despair is the complete loss of hope. The complete presence of hope. Cry, yes, Lord. But Gary, you said that about your children. I've already lost my child. I've been crying for 10 years. Cry if you must. And you know, it's easy for somebody to say it who haven't lost. I haven't lost my children. But if I've lost my child, I might get up here every Sunday and cry before I preach. Cry if you must. But don't despair. Yeah, don't lose hope. Yeah, don't lose hope in due time. And Job showed us that in his example, and he didn't give up. And I asked the question last week, has anybody lost all of your children at the same time? Oh, have mercy. What must have Job been feeling that day? And let us hold fast the profession of our hope, Hebrews 10:23. Without wavering, give us strength, Lord. Without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Everybody say God is faithful. Yeah. Yeah. So that's the difference, see. That's the difference. You know, sometimes we make promises to each other that we can't keep. Even when we want to keep it. We make promises to our children. You know, some of us promise things to our kids, and you know you want to do it, but just because you're human, you don't even know where you're going to be next week. How you going to promise something next week? I'm going to take you to Disneyland in December. You might be dead. Amen, somebody. But God is faithful. He is faithful. Did the sun rise this morning, church? You know why it rose? Because God is faithful. Yeah, the Bible says he reigns on the just and the unjust. Lord, I mean, thank you, Lord, that he's God. Because I'd be raining on a few people. I'd be spot rain all over the place. Some people would never get no rain. Yeah, God is faithful. So many ways we can attest that God is faithful. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But we don't want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep. This is those who've lost loved ones. So that you will not grieve as do the rest. That's why I said this is to the saints. This is for Christians who have no hope. No hope is despair. Or just despair. For if we believe that Jesus died, do we believe that Jesus rose again? But he would believe, even so God will bring him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, it's a wonderful thing. You know, I think I say, every time I see Sister Pat Adams, I say, Sister Pat, how you doing? She said, "Well, Gary, I'm doing okay." She's here every Sunday, and she's here every Sunday. I always think, you know, so I'm trying to encourage her because her husband is gone to the restful place. Brother Robert Adams is dead. He's no longer with us. Amen. And I know she has a cry nights and days, but not like those who have no hope. Because if we believe that Jesus died and that he rose again, Brother Bob Adams is better off than us today. Amen. Who we need to be crying for is who? Lord have mercy. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 4:8. We're afflicted in every way. This is Paul. He's actually talking about himself. He says, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Paul says, I'm not about to give up now. I'm going through some trials. And I'm come too far. I got too much hope. 2 Corinthians 4:14, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. Paul says, I know who I believe in. And I know what God going to do for me. I know it absolutely. And I'll say to us all, church, nothing is more important. Nothing more is more value. Nothing that we lose should cause us to sever or diminish our relationship with God. Nothing. No stuff. No man, no woman, no boy, no girl, nothing. Nothing that we go through in this life. No job. I lost my job, Brother Gary. I wanted this job so bad. There's another job for you. No boss man, no boss lady. Nothing should deter us from our relationship with God as we go through this life. All right. One of the things that I believe that we need to do as Christians is to replace unhealthy coping strategies as we deal with stress in our lives. Replace unhealthy coping strategies with healthy ones. With healthy ones, you know. Different people react in different ways. You think about the ways we are currently managing our coping with our stress in our life. And are your strategies healthy? Are they helping you? Or are they hurting you? Are they productive or are they unproductive? So many of us, we compound our problems. We compound in the issues. And sometimes we compound them by doing things that temporarily give us relief. They're temporary. Yeah. But in the long run, they cause us more stress. More stress. People react in different ways. I don't want to beat anybody up, but you know, some things just don't help. You know, I know some people, oh, I need a cigarette. We smoke. And, you know, I know smoking can be a brave habit. I know Christians who smoke right now, who wish they could stop, who are trying to stop. And I hope they keep trying to stop. You know, but Gary, are you talking about people that smoke? No, I'm not talking about people that smoke. I'm just saying, you know, some things don't help us. The doctors will tell you, everybody, even people that smoke, know you don't need to be smoking. Amen, somebody. Yeah, and you know, sometimes habits we magnify even more when we're under stress. But they don't help. They don't help. Some people drink. Yeah, and we know we're under stress because we make that statement. Oh Lord, I need a drink. Is that really what you need? I mean, really, honestly, is that really what you need? Yeah, you know, I'm just. You know, some things are not healthy. Some people sleep too much. Can you get too much sleep? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Some depression will do it. Depression will keep you in the bed not only all day, it'll keep you in bed all week. It'll keep you in the bed all month. And some people eat too much. Well, yeah, you shouldn't be saying, listen, can't nobody, don't worry about nobody looking at nobody else. Yeah, okay, nobody look at nobody else. Yeah, some people eat too much. Yeah, you can tell when you're eating too much. You know when you're eating too much. I've done it before. I know I have. I tell you what, because eating can make you feel good for a little while. I'll tell you that. Yes, it can. Well, I'm telling you, a big boy, look at, the only reason why I don't eat Bluebell ice cream no more. Only reason why I don't eat it now, because it just tear my stomach up. Because if I could eat it, I surely would be. But it's not good to be eating Bluebell at 1 in the morning, really, is it? For most of us, it's not. If you're not getting up at 6 to work out, you know. But I'm talking about dealing with coping strategies. Because see, some of us, cause we do it and make us feel good for a while, then we feel bad. Yeah, some people work too much. Some people work to escape. You know, what's going on at home and what's going on, you know, places. Some people procrastinate, just put stuff off. I do it later. But later comes so late, by the time you get back to it, you're worse off than you. Some people withdraw from everybody. Withdraw from people. And we think that that's going to solve the issue. It's going to... And some people attack people. We attack everybody. You know, we just a ball of just you know, and you go off some, anybody. See, just When Job got all this bad news, and notice, if you read the passages, he got all this bad news in one day. I don't know how. And the messenger came, and as he was speaking. But Job's immediate response, his immediate response was to communicate to and worship God. Gary, I'm not there yet. I didn't say you were there yet. I'm not there yet. But see, you got to know where we need to be trying to be, amen? Can I ask a question? Is what you're doing right now, is it working for you? I mean, you know, when you go have a whole pack of cigarettes, do you feel better? When you drink the bottle till there ain't nothing else in it. Job. Bible says, then Job arose, Job 1:20, and tore his robe. He cried and mourned, shaved his head. He's emotional, but also at the same time, he still is deliberate enough. This is the practice of the Jew, that he shaved his head to demonstrate his mourning to those that were around him. Oh, Lord, this is a great loss, but he still is not out of control. Lord, give me strength. And he fell to the ground. So much humility. He fell to the ground and he worshiped. Oh, God has to stay a part of our answer. God has to be. Well, even if you're a young person, and you know ask somebody, pray for me. Keep God a part of your solution. And I know it's good to have friends, and it's good to have good friends. We don't have time to go and read what all of three of Job's friends, advice that they gave him, but boy, none of it was what he needed. And people are only going to give you what they have, what they know themselves. Who has the wisdom of God? And so the act of not knowing what the answer is, even just the act, the humility of going to God, it gets God's attention. Listen, in Acts chapter 19, verse 16, verse 23, Acts chapter 16, verse 23, Paul and Silas, they were in jail. You think they weren't under some stress? They were in jail. Listen to what the Bible says in verse 23. When they had struck them with many blows, they were in jails and being oppressed. They threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But about midnight, Paul and Silas, were they under stress, church? Paul and Silas were praying and singing. They were praying and singing in this stressful environment. Hymns of praise to God. Hymns of praise to God. That's what they were doing. They were now. What would you have been doing? I'd have been crying. I don't know. Maybe I've grown. Maybe since I'm studying the Word of God. Maybe since I'm trying to allow God to speak to me. Now I might be ready to deal with a heavier trial. Instead of crying, I see God's example. These men are not complaining. They're not whining. They're praying and singing. Lord, can I Can I get in a situation and instead of blaming and whining and why me? I don't know why I'm going through this. What's going to happen to me? And I don't know. And people, and nobody don't hear you anyway. There is a name I love. Yes, I love to sing. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name. Oh, I'm singing, oh, how I love Jesus, so oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how I love. Because you think God would be pleased with that? I think he would. Let's try not whining so much. Let's try to thank God. Now, what are you thinking in front of Gary? Thank God, situation ain't bad as.
Yes, sir.
It could be worse, couldn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, thank God that the things as well as, and thank God that you. Notice this, while they were singing praise to God, the Bible says, and the prisoners were listening to them. See, when we're going through our trials, there's always somebody. See, sometimes when you're going through a trial, it's the greatest time for you to minister to somebody else. Because if they see how you handle their trial, your trial, it might help them to handle. They might even ask you, how are you able to do that? And what you gonna tell them? Nothing but God. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Hebrews 16, I'm bringing this down. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name. He's talking to the Christians, the saints. God knows what we're doing. He knows the genuineness of our heart in having ministered in your work, in having ministered and still ministering to the saints. One of the ways that we can deal with stress better is to take the focus off ourselves and minister to somebody else. Yeah. Oh, I know that works. Oh, I know. I'm telling you, I know it works. Because a lot of time I feel overwhelmed, I get up out that office. Go see somebody. One of the elders and myself, we went to see somebody this past week. And you leave out of there, you say, thank you, Lord. You uplift somebody else, but you uplift yourself also. Yeah, some of us need, you know, some of us, we've been looking at your situation. You've been looking at your situation too hard and too long. You know everything. You know every pill. You know everything. You know all the times. You got all the doctor's name. You know the people that's involved. You know all their cousins. Connect. Don't disconnect. Connect in your stress. Not forsaking our own assembly together as the habit of some. Hebrews 10:25. But encouraging one another. Notice it's one another. And the more as you see the day drawing near. Hebrews 3:13. But encourage one another. Day after day, as long as it's still called today. Acts 2:42, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostle teaching and to fellowship and the breaking of bread. Church, one of the things that we do, and I know you can't hang around everybody, you can't be with everybody, but you need to be with somebody. Amen. In the fellowship. Amen. Of like mind who will encourage you. Who does not need encouragement? Who in here does not need encouragement from somebody? Amen. Everybody. All of us. Okay, you still need. You're not that strong. None of us are. One of the devil's tools is to take you out of the fellowship. It's to isolate you, put you by your, because you have all kind of conversations with yourself and none of them are good. Stressful situations. Do not relish in drama when you're in stress. Don't be a drama king. You thought I was going to say drama queen, didn't you? Don't be a drama queen. Drama brings attention to you. Listen to 1 Peter 3:3. But your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair, the wearing of gold jewelry, or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality, notice, of a gentle, everybody say gentle, and quiet spirit, which is precious. Precious in the sight of God. It's nothing to brag about that you tell people a piece of your mind. I got it all off my chest. Listen, you can rarely get yourself in trouble by being quiet. I know sometimes we have to say things, but so, you know what he's telling us as Christians, you want to live less stressful, you want to calm yourself down. That's what he's telling us. Internally, don't over dramatize. Whoa, Lord. What's that going to? Blaming does not solve our problems. Blaming. Moses, the scriptures would say, did not blame God. All that stuff happened. It was, God had to allow it. God is long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish. We live in a crooked world. Notice this. See, you're looking at the incident. God always, all the time, has all of our well-being at heart. See, that's what you need to remember. When you're going through a trial, it's not because God is trying to destroy you. Amen. He allows things to happen to us. And do you remember in the Garden of Eden when God went to Adam and the woman you gave me, the woman you God is your fault. Did that get him off the line? See, blaming, and surely not blaming God until we accept responsibility for the role we play in creating. Are maintaining our stress level will remain outside of our control. We have to analyze ourselves always. Learn to break away. Sometimes you have to get away from some situations. The Bible would say in Luke chapter 5, verse 16, but Jesus himself would often, this is Jesus, the Son of God, would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. He did it often. Jesus did a lot of mighty, powerful works. He dealt with stressful situations all the time, but Jesus needed a break. Amen. Question, you think we don't need breaks sometimes? Now, I don't know how we're going to get our breaks. Sometimes we need to walk. Some of you just, you know what you need to do? You need to walk. Amen. Well, Gary, my feet hurting. Well, ride. I mean, to get away. So, sometimes, I don't know where you can drive in Houston, but sometimes you just need to go get in the car. You got small children and they crying all night. They just crying. Get in the car, put them in that car seat, and go ride. Oh, no, I'm too tired. Well, they're going to be crying the rest of the night. You're right. Take a bath. I got a shower. Well, take a shower. Meditate. One man told me, he said, what's been helping me? I stretch every night. I say, stretch? And I say, oh, that's got to be free. He gets on the floor, and he said, I can reach all the way over now. Oh, whoa, see, instead of going cigarette, stretch. Yeah. Ride a bike. Swim. I can't swim, but don't you swim. Read something powerful, positive, like the Word of God. Sing them over again to me. Let me stop singing. Wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see. Oh, wonderful words of life. Oh, words of life and duty. Keep me faith and beauty. I forgot the word. Beautiful words. Oh, wonderful. Oh, wonderful words of life. Beautiful word, oh wonderful word, oh wonderful word. Ooh, that helped me right there. That helped me right there. Visit. Get out your shell. Minister to somebody. Yeah, just get out. Isaiah, you know what he said. Sometimes we simply need to just wait on God. Yeah. I need something to happen right now. For calm down. Calm down. You know, just get because you. I need something to happen right now. Did it happen? Just wait on God. Remember, God rewards the righteous. Clayton read in your hearing a few moments ago, Job 42. This is Job. Remember Job. You remember what he lost. We didn't even get into what else he lost. Verse 12. The Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. So all we folk, man, Job went through a lot. Job had some blessings. And he had 14,000 sheep. He started out with how many? 7,000. 6,000 camels. He started out with how many? 3,000. 1,000 yoke of oxen. He started out with 1,000 female donkeys. He started out with. He had 7 sons, 3 daughters. Then verse 16, after this, Job lived. Don't exaggerate your trials. Oh, yes, don't downplay them. Stay with God, trust in God. As Job trusted in God, even when his wife told him to curse God and die. I don't care who you're talking to. If they're telling you anything that would sever, hinder your relationship with God, do not. Girl, you need to leave that man. Well. 140 years, saw his sons and his grandsons. 4 generations, Job died. An old man, full of days. I trust in the Lord until I die. Amen, church. You're here today, you're not a child of God. You need to choose Jesus. By faith, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you are willing to repent of all of your sins and to confess Christ, be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins and live faithful unto death until you die, and don't let anything hinder your relationship with God. And Lord have mercy, I wish I could tell you that you're not going to go through any trials. But church, as we're dealing with our trials, as we are all dealing with our trials, let's learn from Job. Let's never, ever despair and never, ever give up and stay with God. Somebody want to come to Christ, do it today. If you're here and you want to get something right, if you want the church to pray for you, we'll pray for you even right now as we stand and sing.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?